Thank you for joining us. It's great to be here with Dr. Siegfried Schmidt, who is a longtime colleague and friend of mine from the University of Florida College of Medicine in Gainesville, where he's a professor and a leader in community health and family medicine. We've worked together in drug prevention and intervention and education of medical students, interns, and residents for many years, and probably he might even remember that I started moving from neuroscience, and my first clinical department was in community health and family medicine in smoking cessation. So it's great to have you here today.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here and being invited, so yeah. Thank you.
It's really good. So, you know, this is an important project for us, and you're an important expert in having experience in pain and pain evaluation and opioid use. Where do family medicine practitioners fit? I mean, do they prescribe a lot of opioids?
Yes, family medicine doctors actually are responsible for about 50% of all prescriptions for opioids. When you look at other subspecialties, 50%, that's quite a bit. We are responsible for half of all the opioid prescriptions out there. And there is a reason for it, because primary care, in my eyes, is actually very well suited to be treating patients with chronic pain. Primary care physicians are trained in chronic disease management, and this is what you need, because chronic pain, unfortunately, is not something that goes away. There's really no cure for it. So they integrate already the disease management aspects. They coordinate the care with others. So we're kind of the medical home for others. We know the patients probably best. Over the years, they get to know us. We look into the whole person and really look into the biopsychosocial aspects of the patient. It's very important for chronic conditions, because unfortunately we don't have a silver bullet like maybe the orthopedist with a knee replacement. We have a management approach that we can offer.
Yeah, well, so the person might go to emergency department and then they'd come back to you, or they go to an orthopedic surgeon and come back to you. And so when you're dealing with pain and pain management, how do you approach that?
So a good aspect is we do a good history. When we're faced with a patient in chronic pain, they had some pain for a while, we actually use some tools to make sure that we have appropriate evaluation of the patient. There are tools that have been developed to actually be able to know if these patients have a risk, for example, for opioid addiction or others. And we look into what we call comorbidities. We look into depression, anxiety, and many other things. So there are a lot of misconceptions, unfortunately, out there for doctors that I'm dealing with, other my colleagues in family medicine. They feel that these patients are kind of difficult, and I believe that it's due to misconceptions, because if you connect with these patients, they're very grateful that you're actually helping them, even though you can't get rid of their pain, but you're able to manage the pain with them.
So, I mean, physicians and training, I mean, we want to help people. And the person might come in and say, doc, you know, I'm in a lot of pain. Can't you help me? How do you approach that?
So if the patient brings up the pain, there are two ways of doing this. First of all, unfortunately, primary care physicians have not been trained in chronic pain management over the years. Many did not have the training in medical school, and then they did, unfortunately, not get the training in residency programs neither. So there is a little bit of a lack of knowledge. However, they have everything they need already, as I was talking about, and they just need to add a couple of things to the armamentarium. So their history that we do with any other problem, like diabetes or anything else, just needs to be a few aspects we'll need to add to it. So what I usually suggest is you do an addiction risk evaluation. There are tools now, for example, the opioid risk tool, which can easily be integrated in the history. And we, in family medicine, already use things like a PHQ-9 or a GAD-7. It's an anxiety screen that we look into comorbidities. And when you do this, you can already kind of estimate a little bit, is this patient someone who is actually just trying to get opioids from you, or this patient actually has legitimate pain issues, and then you can make an appropriate comprehensive plan for those.
For the opioid risk tool, is that something that all doctors should be aware of or be able to use?
Yes, the opioid risk tool is pretty simple. It's easy to use, and unfortunately, some doctors, because they have these misconceptions that these are very difficult patients, and occasionally they can be difficult, but some of the things have to do with us and what we do and how we perceive the patient in chronic pain. So these tools are easily available. They can be eased very simply. I always look into diabetes patients. We do a hemoglobin A1C, so the opioid risk tool would be someone for chronic pain. We do other labs. We look into various medications that are available and educational materials. And then for the chronic pain patients, we really don't do anything differently. We just use different tools. And I think if family physicians are more familiar with these tools, they actually will be able to help these patients and will also have less frustrations for themselves. For themselves, and this frustration, unfortunately, kind of gets transferred to the patient as well. So there are good studies that show that family doctors are frustrated with these patients, and patients, vice versa, are frustrated with family doctors concerning that problem.
So if family doctors prescribe about half of the opioids, would changes in practice or changes in assumptions cause that to be diminished and switch to alternatives or not?
Yes, I think the educational measures should include, you know, what other options do we have than just use a quick opioid to treat whatever is a problem. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we as physicians, I think we want to do good for our patients, and I think physicians inherently want to do the right thing. Now, sometimes that right thing is a little bit tougher to do because we may not quite know, and we have these misconceptions, and we really don't want to do this, mm-hmm. but I think ultimately we want to do the right thing. And the right thing to do is, at a time where we deal with opioid crisis and we're responsible for 50% of the opioids that are being prescribed, I think is to integrate these tools and look at our patients a little bit closer and advise them and educate them accordingly.
So in family medicine, you have a lot of time restraints. It's busy. Many mm-hmm. of the people coming in have complex problems, many problems. And if they have pain and you have CDC guidelines, how do you manage assessment of a complex pain?
It's a very good question. And we are indeed faced with time shortage, and we have to address so many issues. Many of the complaints I'm hearing by primary care physicians, well, I don't have the time to deal with this. Okay, I have 20 minutes and there's no way for me to do all of this. Well, there are some tricks of the trade, one of which is where you can separate the visits. So you start with a patient, you find out, oh, this patient has chronic pain. Well, now you have two choices. You can address it that visit, or you can address it to a part this visit. So you can actually change one visit to two or three visits. Say, well, we need to talk about this. I want to talk about this because I think we can make a difference for you, but I can't do it in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we can start. I have actually some material prepared. So we have a special history and physical data sheet just for patients with chronic pain. We ask all the important questions and has all these tools integrated, and you give it to the patient and you can move on that visit with some other issues and you bring it back to another visit. Or you have a special mm-hmm. time in your day where you see some more complex patients, and of course chronic pain patients are more complex. You bring them in at the end of the day where you can kind of swap over maybe a little bit later and can finish a whole visit that way. That's expectation, timing expectation. There's another expectation we talked a little bit about, which is the expectation of the patient to get rid of the pain. Mm-hmm. Yes, ultimately we all want to get rid of our pain. But as life happens and things happen, we survive accidents, trauma, and many other things in our lives, it's not going to happen. Okay, so we as physicians should manage this proactively. We cannot cure it, but we can help you to manage it and continue to live your life and enjoy your life.
Doctors are trained to help people and relieve suffering and pain and suffering. A person comes in and complaining of extreme pain, and they'll say, this works. Can you write me a prescription for this? And you might not agree. How do you learn to say no?
One of the things that doctors are really afraid of is to say no. So the patient says, well, this is, you ask the question, this is the only thing that helps me. But you have cocaine addiction in your history. Everybody in your family was an alcoholic. This is not the right drug for you. This will get you into trouble down the road. I think doctors do have to allow them to say no. We do this in a very tactful manner. We do it after we listen to the patient and make sure that the patient was heard and understands where we're coming from. We use laws and guidelines that guide us that we cannot prescribe these medications, and we present it to the patients. And several of them will say, well, then maybe I have to find a new doctor, and that is okay too. We as doctors have to allow that as well. But I think you want to do the right thing as a physician, and if you very clearly understand this is the wrong thing, I don't think you want to do that with your patients. So you kind of manage that as well. And I think educational, I'm very involved in education, unfortunately does not train doctors to say no. We want to help our patients. So no is kind of not really what we're training, but we're doing a better job now and actually allowing patients to voice their disagreements, but ultimately we're in charge and have to say no, and we do this in a tactful manner.
Thank you.
And usually patients respond to this way of addressing the issue. Occasionally you will have a patient that will not like the answer, and if it escalates to even shouting or maybe even violence, you need to de-escalate the situation, may have to remove yourself from the room, and you may have to get help. Mm-hmm. So, but in 28 years of practice, I've seen this very rarely.
That's good.
Yes. So usually the patient may actually remove themselves of the room and say, well, if I don't get opioids, then I'm out of here. And then I obviously can't work with the patient and help the patient. I think for doctors,
it's like giving bad news.
That's right. And for doctors, it's kind of frustrating because here's someone we wanted to help, and they don't want our help, okay, for whatever reason. And I think doctors have to allow themselves they need to be fine with that. Mm-hmm. This is not what the doctor is all about. Yes, we want to help, but we want to do it in the right way.
Does family medicine have enough in the way of prescribing guidelines so that you can say, well, the American Academy says this, or do you revert to the CDC or the state guidelines? What is the kind of guideline that a patient will understand or that you like to communicate?
Yeah, we do have various guidelines. The guidelines have been created by other organizations, mainly some of the pain management organizations that have been around for years. However, it's always hard to change habits. Mm-hmm. Doctors get into a habit, and changing that is hard. So the federal government came in with the CDC guidelines in 2016 to kind of remind doctors to pay more attention to what we're doing and how we're prescribing opioids. And they very clearly looked into the amount of opioids that are being prescribed. And we do use those guidelines in our practice and trying to reduce opioids. And just for the practice in physicians, as I've seen it, actually lesser seems to be more and better for the patients. One of the problems is doctors have not been trained to wean patients of opioids. So, and it's quite simple. And the details concerning weaning is the majority of pain management doctors use 10% of the opioid dose per week. And when you get below 50%, you may reduce it maybe to every 2 weeks, or maybe slower if they have been on very, very high doses. Another way of doing this is to use 25% per month until you get about to 50% or 25%, and you can kind of adjust it. And some of these patients may take a half a year. And I had several where it took us 2 years to get them off completely. But these patients actually were very appreciative, and were very glad to be off the medication. I had others where we reached a level where the pain got so severe that we actually had to keep the dose and maybe kind of went up a little bit and really proved that they do need this medication. And the other medication that we use, called adjunct medications, weren't really controlling the pain so they could stay functional. And we were talking about professional people, we're talking about retired people, we're talking about all kind of people. And they do want to participate in their life, and they do want to be there for, you know, the birthdays and the celebrations of the family, and we are able to do that for them. We help them to manage that well.
So you have to sit in the patient's shoes. You have to feel what they're feeling through them and understand it and make the most informed decisions that you can together.
Yes, and I think family doctors are involved in chronic care management. And one of the major aspects of chronic care management is to really activate the patient. Often in our medicine, medical society, we just do tests and we poke and probe the patient, but we don't talk to them. And then as we talk to them and activate the patient, so it's all passive stuff. We give the patient something they can participate in actively. We get them back out of the shell. Chronic pain kind of makes you shrink, and you don't want to do anything. You don't want to participate in anything. And we help them to get back out of this and be an active member of participating in them managing their own pain. And that's actually one of the aspects where doctors get very frustrated. They take the pain of their patients on their shoulder and feel it. And you can do that to a degree, but if you continue doing this, I mean, you get really burned out. And that's one of the things for physicians to understand. There's empathy that's appropriate, and then there's the next step where you're taking all the pain of your patients, which is not healthy to you nor the patients, because it will wear you out. So you should do some burnout preventive things, you know, enjoy your own life, meditation, listen to music, do something outside of medicine. And, you know, I say, well, that's from someone, my wife would look at me, she would say, well, you know, what all do you do? Well, I do yard work. So I love being outside and do the yard work, and it's my release. It's it's wonderful. I can exactly determine what I want, where I put the plant and where not. So it's a wonderful thing. So I recommend yard work.
So I want to thank you for being here, and I want to thank everyone for being here with Dr. Siegfried Schmidt and talking about family medicine and practice and opioid guidelines.